having a last Zoom speaker series, hopefully, of 2021. I'd like to see everybody back in person, and I know we have some great locations for that. This is Kathy Picciullo with the Kenmore Town of Tonawanda Chamber of Commerce, and I'm very excited today because there's a lot that is going on in the town, and I swear that Jim Hartz wears three hats, and I think as he explains his direction and the things that he's working on right now, you'll actually see that he actually does wear three hats. So we're being joined by Jim Hartz, who's the Director of Community Development in the town of Tonawanda, and of course we're in the state of New York. And Jim is going to be giving us some updates because there's a lot going on in the town. We've been working on a number of plans and for zoning and for all kinds of things. And it's just a constantly, you know, moving situation with business development and trying to bring in businesses, et cetera. So there's just a lot to talk about today. So I know that Jim has prepared a nice presentation for us to help help us understand a little bit about what he does in the three hats that he wears, or four. There may be more that comes. But Jim, welcome, and I welcome everybody on the call here too. But I'll turn it over to you to tell us a little bit. I know you had kind of come up with a couple of topics that you want that'll kind of flush it all out. But basically, what is a town planner, and what do you do? Is my first question.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Kathy, for the introduction. Thank you, everyone, for joining the call today. I've been the town planner for the town of Tonawanda for about 12 years now. And I don't know how I ended up following in the footsteps of the New York State Comptroller and the Erie County DA in the speaker series, but here I am, your local town planner for the number three speaker. So I've been in the town for 12 years. And before that, I was with the town of Clarence as their assistant planner for 10 years. So it has been a privilege and an honor to serve in the public interest. One of the first things I remember in graduate planning school, one of my planning professors say, if you're here to make money, kid, you might leave right now. There's the door. And some days I really wonder about that decision to stay. But anyway. So what does a town planner do? Our primary purpose would be to help establish a vision for the community through a collaborative and engaging process whereby interested citizens, business owners, and elected leaders come together and participate in telling us how they want to use our limited collective resources, be it our tax dollars, and how we want to focus our policies and our priorities in a plan. And here in the town of Tonawanda, we're helping build a community that, of course, is a great place to live, work, and play. And that's the motto here at the town. So on a daily basis, we may be processing applications for various developments or conducting various state and federal grant programs. But the primary mission does not really change, and that is constantly revisiting the goals and the objectives that have been agreed upon in our community and make sure that we're all on the right path with our priorities. We advise the elected officials on the various programs, the project proposals that come across our desk. So during this talk today, I am going to touch on the town's comprehensive plan. We're going to take a look at what has been established as the collective vision for the community. And then we'll look at how this affects the business community as well. We'll look at the local laws that govern development and some of the projects that are being proposed in town and what we're doing to bring those codes into the modern era. And finally today, I'll touch briefly on another goal that's in the comprehensive plan that deals with the movement of people around from place to place in town using a mode other than a vehicle, also known as our Complete Streets Initiative. So we'll take a look at all these issues through the lens of why it's important for local businesses to stay engaged in the local community planning effort. So with that, I think I am going to start sharing my screen, Kath. We're going to see if this works. Hopefully this PowerPoint comes up or I'll be in some big trouble. Okay, can everyone see that?
Yes.
Okay, great. So the town's comprehensive plan acts as the printed version of the agreed upon goals and objectives for the town. Once it has been adopted by the town board, it holds great legal weight regarding future project proposals and programs that will be followed over the next 10 to 15 years. The town's last update was completed in 2015 and provides the framework necessary to guide future public investment in both programming and infrastructure and facility projects. It's also a guide for new policies regarding private investment in land use and zoning. So the vision of the town's future is embodied in the comprehensive plan. Section 272A of town law in New York State gives municipalities the power to plan for their future. The town's updated comp plan contains 7 major goals and 154 implementation actions to be carried out in order to achieve the objectives in the plan. And our job is to keep the town on track and adjust when necessary. The comp plan requires the town to address a comprehensive zoning law rewrite, the complete streets plan and implementation, and continued work on brownfield and neighborhood redevelopment. We embrace the walkable nature of our village and town and build on its density and position in the region. Here in Kenmore, Tonawanda, it's convenient to 15 to 20 minutes to anywhere you wanna go in Western New York. So what is the vision and how does it relate to some of the other plans in town? Currently, the primary focus on the future of the Tonawanda has been focused around the waterfront area. Not that other areas of the town are being neglected, it's just that there's a transformation underway currently, guided by some other area plans, such as the waterfront land use plan and the local waterfront revitalization plan. Both of these plans have been prepared to allow for more mixed use redevelopment and at the same time preserve the great manufacturing sector that accounts for a large portion of manufacturing jobs in our region, provides thousands of jobs for families, not just in Tonawanda, but throughout Western New York. The issues that arise from any specific development or redevelopment location lately seems to boil down to brownfield issues of legacy contamination and the various state and federal programs available for cleanup. Tax credits, ECIDA tax incentive packages provide some savings for sales tax on redevelopment, and the town's 585 or 485 A and B programs give some relief for mixed use developments and investments from local property taxes for a period of 10 years. So this slide is of the former Tonawanda Coke site. Kathy, can you see that slide? Great. All of the programs are designed to encourage investment in some largely neglected areas of town in the village of Kenmore. The New York State Brownfield Program is still the best economic development program available in New York State. And when you combine that with some of the other state and federal incentives, that's how you can get a capital stack form for a development project that pencils out, that you can get these projects done. The new Riverview Innovation and Technology Campus redevelopment project is one example of work underway along our River Road corridor. They have already invested over $13 million in cleanup, and this work will be continuing for years. They've already removed about 8 million pounds of waste from the site and material off the site. And the stack demolition event of June 5th was quite the event. So today we're gonna focus on two of the implementation actions in the comprehensive plan, the zoning law rewrite and the Complete Streets Initiative, because these are taking up a bulk of our time in town government currently. And it matters to the business community because the comprehensive plan outlines how and why our tax dollars are going to be spent. And the town is always looking to invest, partner, and regulate the private land use realm. So there's a number of items that can affect private business depending on the nature of the work, but the town is looking out for how best to create an environment that is a great place to live, work, and play. Anyone that is maybe interested in participating in the next comp plan update can join us in a few years. It does need to be updated and completed by 2025. And this will be a guide for development through the year 2040 at least. So if you can imagine that and think about where you might be in 2040, there's certainly a lot of work that needs to be done in town. So the town's existing zoning law is a patchwork of various consulting work that has been done over time. And it's created a document that is oftentimes contrarian, has some doublespeak. There's various sections of the code that are outdated. Some of these unintended consequences of this outdated language has caused a discriminatory effect in several protected classes of our population. It doesn't address various issues that are relevant to everyday uses, such as home occupations, the rise of home occupations, even fencing, the new legalization of marijuana, which I know was a topic here last month by the DA, and things such as large-scale battery storage are these new uses that confront the town today that we need to update our language and update our code. There's also several zoning districts that are very similar in nature, but they have different provisions. So it causes a lot of confusion amongst architects and engineers. So we're looking to simplify the districts. And we're trying to figure out how also to help our code enforcement officers in town enforce the laws, because if it's easier for everyone to read and interpret, it's easier for them to enforce and have people follow along as well. So we're adding special tools that allow for more flexible mixed use development opportunities, especially on larger parcels along our waterfront. And more or less trying to reorganize the law just to make it easier to navigate. And we're also making it more legally defensible in many aspects. And the town is currently about a year into the development of this new zoning law. In 2019, we were awarded a $150,000 grant through NYSERDA as a result of their Clean Energy Communities grant program. So NYSERDA had challenged municipalities to complete a number of tasks that reduce our overall carbon footprint, including purchasing clean energy vehicles, converting our street lighting to LED, and running a solarize campaign that encouraged residents to install solar panels on their homes, which 58 homeowners did. So we completed those tasks and were one of the first municipalities in Western New York to achieve the designation of clean energy community. And this being a few years after the Huntley plant did shut down. The town board decided the best use of those funds, the $150,000, would be to help rewrite our zoning law to address the town's future development objectives. So every new construction project in town is subject to the zoning law and review of the town's planning board. It's their job to ensure that all new projects are in conformance with the code. And at the end of the review process, the project is the best it can be for the town regarding layout, design, and improvements. And many times, these project sponsors agree that at the end of this process, it's beneficial for them as well. So we currently have a list of issues we're working on. There's been several recent state or federal Supreme Court cases that have come down on the side of commercial free speech, which basically allows a business owner, anyone who is putting up a sign, to put whatever content in that signable area that they want. In the past, we used to, in a lot of municipal sign laws, be able to regulate content, or at least municipalities would like to try to regulate content. Well, that's all been thrown out the window, and we need to revisit our sign law and make sure it's consistent with this new case law. We're also providing consistent design guidelines for new projects that are coming in the town. More detailed images in the zoning law. There'll be much more graphics in the zoning law that are going to help architects, engineers, and even homeowners figure out, you know, what does this text mean? We're also addressing new things like short-term rentals and home occupations. The town currently has a number of unzoned parcels, unregulated lands, and those will be zoned and mapped along parcel lines as much as possible. And we're creating some engineering standards that'll be created and referenced more in the code. And there'll be several map amendments that will take place. And mainly it will be along the River Road Corridor, our waterfront mixed use district. And there is an effort along Niagara Falls Boulevard now to start thinking about transit oriented design for a potential light rail expansion. So we're in the process of working out a potential new code revision for that. So we have hired a consultant, Barton LeJudas, who is helping us guide a local steering committee that the people have basically used the code on a daily basis. And we are seeking input from local stakeholders, business owners, residents, and community groups. So this law does affect everyone that interacts with the town. We hope to have a draft ready for public review and input sometime in September, and a final draft ready for town board deliberations and adoption sometime toward the end of the year. So this matters to the business community because zoning law is the teeth behind the town's land use vision. So it's where you want to see the community improve. And some of the best places in our nation are shaped by a partnership of private business interests and governmental administration, local governmental administration, to make things happen. Early plans of Buffalo, Chicago, and Washington all followed this blueprint. And it's the business organizations that cooperate with government on a plan, utilizing our scarce resources, can make impactful changes in our community. If we're just local government trying to get this stuff done, quite frankly, would not work and would backfire for sure. So the vision must be aligned with majority consensus of informed stakeholders. And this is the biggest task of any effort of this type. This is a slide of the former Energy Huntley Power Generating Facility on the river. And I just want to touch briefly on one of the zoning law amendments that were was recently actually adopted a couple months ago by the town board, and that is the Planned Unit Development Zoning District, or PUD for short. This is a tool that can be utilized on property redevelopment projects of over 20 acres that allows developers a blank slate of what they would like to see happen on the site, while at the same time adhering to a number of guiding land use principles for the site. Many of the properties along River Road that are currently being cleaned up could utilize this tool in the future. Tonawanda Coke and NRG are two examples of those. This is one of the concepts that's been prepared by a consultant looking at a mixed-use redevelopment of a portion of that site. And the basic concept behind a PUD is that it removes the barriers of traditional zoning, the setbacks, height restrictions, and even use prohibitions are completely, it allows developers a canvas. They can basically come up with a project that works for them, but it does have to adhere to several overriding principles in the PUD, and a lot of that comes down to the provision of open space in the design, the preservation of important scenic views to the Niagara River, but it allows developers to entertain a mix of uses that traditional zoning just cannot allow. So it is a good tool, and with the right project, it could be utilized more frequently. So this new tool will definitely help that, and the revised waterfront mixed use district is going to help guide the town for the next 10 to 15 years. And it certainly will be a transformation from what was to what can be out there along the river. All right, I'm moving on. This is our third topic of the day. Here is the establishment of a complete streets policy, and along with that, the implementation of bike lanes, ADA compatible sidewalks, nice mass transit options, and amenities along our streets to access commercial enterprises without the need for a vehicle. So the basic concept here, this slide shows two different street types. One is considered complete, encouraging various modes of transportation. Walking, biking allows for ADA accessible transportation up handicap accessible curbs. And the other has just been designed exclusively for vehicles. I mean, and this has been the predominant design of our roadways for the last 50 years. We need to realize that 50% of our commuting traffic out of our homes are to destinations that are under 3 miles away. So if you think about that, you know, is there a way you could bike 3 miles to go get a carton of milk or eggs for the morning breakfast? Or, you know, could this help with the overall wellness of our community if it can be done safely and effectively? It could reduce carbon emissions and at the same time address the public health crisis of obesity that's occurring in our society and loneliness, especially amongst our senior population. It's about getting people up and moving in our community. It's a quality of life issue. Many people see it as a social justice issue, but I would say it's just about creating places that are safer, more efficient for both vehicles and other modes of transportation. The Complete Street Initiative in our town began soon after the adoption of the last comprehensive plan update. The town had formed a Complete Streets Committee represented by state, county, and town traffic engineers, residents, business owners, bicycling advocates, elected officials, police officers, and yes, planners. We met regularly for approximately a year and a half between 2017 and 2019. And the pandemic and the staff turnover in the town has sort of derailed our efforts this last year, but we will be picking up the pieces and moving this forward again. During these formational years, we developed a complete streets policy that's been adopted by the town board. And we've designed a pilot project along Parker Boulevard between Sheridan Drive and Englewood Avenue. And one of the best features in the town and village is the existence of an extensive sidewalk network. We have them on over 80% of our local streets, and they do act as a great asset for getting people up and outdoors. And wheelchairs are able to navigate accessible ramps in ways where other communities just do not have this asset, this infrastructure in place. So it's a real bonus for the town, and we need to preserve and expand on that. It's really an important part of our future to keep investing in the sidewalk network and keep improving it for ADA accessibility. It keeps us healthier, both physically and socially. So the pilot project that's designed for Parker is along 1.3 miles of a section of roadway between Sheridan Drive, the state highway, and Englewood Avenue, which is a county road. There will be two vehicle lanes, two bike lanes, and the project is really more about reprogramming the area between the existing curbs with additional sidewalks, curbing, road paint, and signage. Another part of the Complete Streets Initiative is the deployment of mini roundabouts at certain intersections that handle a specific volume of traffic, normally between 3,000 and 15,000 vehicle trips per day. This Parker project will have three different mini roundabout locations that act as a new intersection control device in town. The traffic signal was invented over 100 years ago to help vehicles through intersections. But the problem with traffic signals today remains in some of these less traffic volume areas, residential areas or areas where traffic signals are either ignored or subject of distracted driving. Motorists just fly through the intersections without realizing there was a red light. This leads to thousands of accidents a year, motorist to motorist and motorist to pedestrian. It still remains the number one cause of death amongst young adults. Even after this pandemic year, it just doesn't make the headlines. I think it's, you know, could be a news fatigue, apathy, or just in general, the acceptance of our car culture, and just that's the way it is. But it's a public health safety crisis that can be solved. And it's just not politically popular because it means changing the way we think about our traffic and our design in our streets. So many roundabouts have been proven to be a more effective intersection control. They force vehicular movements in a circular direction, eliminating the possibility of a T-bone crash in the intersection due to distracted driving. They also are a more efficient means of moving vehicles through intersections so that you don't have to wait for a green light and have your car sitting and idling, which is not great for the environment. They also work when the power goes out, another great feature of them. So the local police force does not have to send an officer to the intersection to help with traffic. It just works. But there does remain such a political pushback on some of these from some people that don't want to see any change at all. Even though there's statistics out there that prove that once these are installed, it reduces accidents by over 50% and injury accidents by over 75%. This particular project on Parker Boulevard is saving the town $500,000 in costs to replace the traffic signal. And those costs are going up every year. There's about 20 more intersections in town that could utilize this type of traffic intersection control. More than 4,000 of these have been built in the US alone. The town was the first in Western New York to deploy a demonstration project of a mini roundabout. This is probably 3 years ago now. But the village of Lancaster has actually just recently installed one along Central Avenue. So there is a local example and one you can drive through if you're ever out that way. So some of the challenges of this initiative obviously are costs. It is an infrastructure project, they're expensive, but they're also necessary to move our town forward. So it's, you know, we are out there continuing to help secure grants from state and federal government for these improvements, and the town will continue to invest where it's necessary to ensure these amenities for the future. Oh, and this last slide here is just a quick shot of what the proposed LRT, this was, created for the NFTA, just to show what the Niagara Falls Boulevard could look like in 2030 if it were implemented, and showing some of the redevelopment options at the Boulevard Mall site. So that's really all I had for you folks today. I just wanted to conclude with, it's just persistence, determination are all that's needed to help create some of these changes. And I always say that if there's anything you'd like to discuss with me, my door is always open in town. My office is located in the Sheridan Parkside Community Center. So you can stop on by, shoot me an email. Also I encourage you all to visit the town's website to keep informed about what is happening in your local government. And that's where we post a lot of our, what's going on and how to get involved type of things. So with that, I'm gonna turn it back over to Stop Share and turn that back over to you, Kath. And we can open up for questions.
Thank you, Jim. I have a question, and it has to do with the Complete Streets Initiative. And I have been working a lot with, we've got the Kenmore Rotary and there's some other Rotaries, and we've been talking about the, cleanups and biking and all kinds of things as far as just moving around town. And I feel like we missed an opportunity. It was a county road, but Englewood Avenue. So you've got your whole Parker Boulevard with all of the bike lanes and everything going down. And then of course you've got the walking paths, et cetera, behind some of those houses are all going to meet right at that same spot on Kenmore Avenue. And then there's no bike lane, or not Kenmore Avenue, Englewood Avenue. And then even though that was just repaved, it stops. It all just stops right there. And I was just wondering if that can be revisited or why it got shut down when I thought it was part of the Complete Streets initiative.
Yes, great question. This is one of those where, you know, the town board has, they do see the benefits of the Complete Streets policy. It has popular support. Over 80% of our population supports the implementation of a Complete Streets design along these roadways. It comes down to, it just takes a minority of people that are opposed to a project. And in this case on Englewood, the question came down to a parking restriction because they needed to restrict parking, I believe, to one side of the street to make this project work. It was doable. We had cooperation from the county engineering department that was going to paint in the new bike lanes. But the restriction needed to be upheld, but it was opposed by a minority of population, and the town board just couldn't support it at a public hearing. It's difficult. It can be revisited in the future. It's one of these, this initiative and this policy is something that you just have to continue to implement it where it can be. You got to take your little wins and your little battles and just keep on building a network as much as you can, because one of the arguments at the public hearing that night is, it's dangerous. You can't have bikes out on the road. Well, if you don't have dedicated bike lanes that make it easier and safer for people to be in the road, of course, you're not going to see bikers in the road. We're trying to get there. So without doing a pilot project, without pushing some of these things forward in small ways, you'll never get there. So it is about baby steps. It does take so much time to get done, but yes, it can be revisited and we'll continue on that path.
That'd be great. I some people have the opinion that because we're Buffalo and we have winter 9 months of the year, that biking is absolutely not a year-round, something that people could do year-round. And I believe that if more people can travel to different countries, in particular, I'm speaking about Sweden. I happen to have a niece and she lives in Stockholm. Oh my God, you go there and then you realize they have not only, winters like we do, but it's dark, a lot darker. And it's quite heavy with the bike traffic, quite heavy. It's fascinating. Yeah. So yeah. I think when you go there and then you come back, you realize we could do that. We really could do that. I think that might have been maybe overturned if there was a little more communication, possibly. I think that a lot of people didn't realize there was a hearing going on about it. And then again, you said a minority of people showed up and just so communication, I think maybe in the future so people know there's a decision going to be made and what are the pluses and minuses. There was some original comments from my recollection, did have to do with safety. And again, just back to Englewood Avenue, that if you narrowed everything down, what happens when you've got two tractor trailers? So I'm sure that can be answered. That was just a question that had arisen.
Yeah, it can happen a lot. When you do narrow the traffic lanes to say to 10 feet in width, and you have the larger width vehicles coming together, they will encroach on those bike lane areas when they pass, when they go by each other. It's just one of those things where you can only program so much in a road, but like everything else, you just have to be present. It does slow traffic, it's the calm traffic, slow traffic. So it does, you do have to slow down and be more aware of your surroundings in these Complete Streets environments. But that is the whole reason for it. And they're proven to be safer routes for everybody.
Right. It just, that was a tough spot just because there's so many things that came together right there and then led the rest of the way on Englewood Avenue to Kenmore Avenue. And then you've got a campus and everything else. And so just was a little frustrating that that wasn't, didn't go forward.
But agreed. Yes, it was frustrating. It's a good word.
Yeah. So, but I see Dave Stinner jumping on, and I'm sure he has a question. Dave, sure. Let's get you unmuted. Oh, you are unmuted. I'm just not hearing you for some reason. No, still can't hear you, and I don't know why. Check that out, Dave, and we'll take your question as soon as we can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, good. Are we in that same position now with decisions coming up for Colvin Boulevard? Because I heard the city of Buffalo wanted to do Kenmore Avenue south to Delaware Park, and then of course through the village and the town. Is that's a county road as well, so it would be the same process as Kathy just described, right?
Yeah, they did want to look at that. I just heard recently that they're backing off. They did want to do a joint study, city and town at Colvin Boulevard. But I did just hear something that they may have pulled their support for now. They may revisit it in the future, but I mean, just from living right around the corner, that intersection of Colvin and Kenmore is just hideous. So certainly it needs some attention.
So who initiates that, since it's a county road? Does the county?
The county initiate that? The county has to be involved from Kenmore north through up to the, they were going to look all the way up to the thruway, but the it's the city, south of Kenmore.
So with the town of Tonawanda complete streets code, doesn't that mean that the county is supposed to involve the complete streets ideology when they repave and re-look at major changes?
Yes, it is. It's mandatory for the traffic engineers designing these projects to recognize the local municipality hasn't adopted a complete streets plan and consider incorporating those features into the design. And it has been frustrating to see that some of these projects are just flying through without those considerations. It's also in New York state law, highway law, where anything that's funded through state taxpayer dollars has to consider the complete streets design. So, I'm not sure from the local Buffalo regional office here at DOT, why some of these projects are moving forward without elements of complete streets design.
So because the city of Buffalo backed off on their side, Erie County doesn't want to consider it on the village and town of Tonawanda side?
A joint municipal study would have gone a little better for funding. I'm sure we probably would have been able to secure more grants. Obviously the town can look at it at its own and move forward on its own. And like I said, that intersection alone, I mean, it should be up on the priority list of things to be redesigned and reinstalled.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the key here is to make sure that we're kept abreast of anything that is, and that, members of the community. What's your suggestion as far as keeping up on? I mean, you said to go to the website, etc. But is there other communication that we should be keeping our eyes open for?
The town does. Our IT department has gotten better at social media. There is a Facebook page that they do blast. That's another mode to sort of keep in touch and hear what's going on. I dare say, listen in occasionally to a town board meeting or a planning board meeting. Without having the local paper, the Kenton Bee does a great job covering local news, but there are, you know, other means out there we're trying to exploit, you know, just to get the word out. And it's our IT guys handle that part of town government and how to link people to what's happening in town. So Anthony Matthews is our town's webmaster at town. And any suggestions, please, you know, forward on my way and make sure Anthony gets them. And it's right. A constant evolution.
I will say I've gone on the town website after the board meetings, and the audio doesn't play, but I'll talk to Anthony about that, because I've tried a couple of times to listen to maybe how people phrase things, et cetera. And I can't get that to work, but that's, I don't know if that's me or them. I don't know. but I know I interact with it, and I'm looking at agendas, looking at planning board meetings to see what is going on as far as, you know, development. That's something that I'm interested in. And because one of these days, somebody's going to buy a big building and turn it into some sort of a conference center, and we can have a local event in town, in addition to the things that we're doing at Kent on Elmwood Commons, but just our own conference center would be awesome. And I certainly could see something going on like that out at the Huntley plant, or some really cool things out there. I've seen, you know, around the world, people doing some interesting things with that kind of a plant.
Yeah.
But, an event center. We still need an event center.
Yeah, we do.
But thank you for your time. I think this was very informative, and you know, just helps people know where to go to get this information, and just how many things that the town is working on at the same time, trying to, you know, build a better future. I think that, you know, getting everything zoned just once and for all at this point, and then getting that language cleaned up is great.
It will. You know, there's a lot of provisions in there in the commercial zoning districts, you know, that regulate outdoor storage of materials.
Right.
You know, there'll be a lot of time for public review and comment on those issues. So, like I said, over the next 3 to 4 months, you'll be hearing more and more about that, and public hearings and meetings regarding that, because those issues are, you know, very testy. And you know, we'll get those hammered out and before the end of the year for a draft law.
That's great. We'll try to share that also. Thank you, Jim Hartz, for sharing with us today. I thought it was very interesting. I think you did a great job, and we appreciate it. And we'll have this up on YouTube, and people can watch it forever and ever.
Sounds good, Kathy. Thank you so much great? For the opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah, and thanks for everybody's questions. Appreciate those. And then just, I just know the number of the people that are on this call are very interested in the future of this town. And I think everybody's working very well together to continue to make it a great place to live, work, and play.
Great.
So thanks, Jim. You have a great day. Everybody have a great afternoon.